Welcome along to The Loose Goose, once again joined by Dr. Peter Yakimiak. What's the theme this time, Peter?
Style, tribes, space and place. We're here today to celebrate youth subcultures of the late 70s and the 1980s. And indeed, we celebrate in the weekend, Friday night and Saturday night.
Little stereo effect on the drums in the ears at the end of that. That's the Jam. You're listening to The Loose Goose. Another interesting idea for a show. Just give us a bit more depth on it, Peter.
Well, we mentioned the term style tribes at the very beginning. It's a term derived from the work of Ted Polemus, an anthropologist, and indeed his now reprinted key text, Street Style, where he examines all those style tribes that have emerged out of British life across the, you know, from the 50s through to today, and they can be seen on the streets of Britain and across the globe.
Yeah, but largely a sort of adolescent male kind of phenomenon. Is it mostly that, or is it bigger than that?
Bigger than that, in a way, in that you know, many of the people in the youth that were part of these style tribes now have come back to their chosen style tribe, and they're in the 40s, 50s, and so on. But yes, let's not forget the girls who are now fully grown women. You know, they were part and parcel of these scenes as well.
Okay, we got going to a track now by The Specials. Do you want to give us a bit on this one?
Well, yes, because one theme within a theme for today is there's a Facebook group. And they call themselves, or the group is called Days I Remember All My Life. They are a small group of 29 members at the moment, myself included, who used to frequent Wren's Wine Bar in Neath back in the late 70s, 1980s. And we were then mods, skins, rude boys, new romantics, punks. And that's why today is a celebration of all these style tribes. But of course, it was a very violent time, hence The Specials, Do the Dog.
The Specials and Do the Dog. Listening to the Loose Goose with me, Steve Johnson, and Peter Yakimiak. We're talking about this particular venue in Neath that you knew well in your days of being a crazed youth, chasing alcohol and having a good time. But very, very interesting scene at that time, a real kind of mix of different people coming together.
Absolutely. And we're talking about Wren's Wine Bar, Windsor Road, Neath, again, across the late 1970s, early 1980s. A split-level venue. Hmm. Not really originally meant for, you know, sort of being populated by members of various style tribes. But quite quickly, you know, the sort of locals who weren't part of any scene would be seen in the upstairs bar, the larger area. But those members of these style tribes, again, mods, skins, rude boys, punks, and so on, downstairs, smaller area, basement area, smaller bar, but quite crucially, there was a you know, a booth for a DJ there.
Okay, and I can imagine how difficult it would have been for that DJ actually to try and keep all those different people happy, people asking for this track and that track and this genre and that genre.
But I think you know, the DJs managed it because this was on a surface level a sort of disparate mix of youth subcultures coming together within this you know, basement space. But that was the you know, the sort of beautiful thing about it was you had this mix of people that style tribes that fed off one another and tolerated one another. And indeed, on the Facebook site for this group, one member states, and I quote, "At the time, Neath seemed so closed in. The music and the friends we had made everything more bearable. I felt I could go down them stairs in the wine bar and relax. No need to keep checking over your shoulder all the time.
There's Tracy with Far From the Hurting Kind, one of the acts who worked with and were developed by Paul Weller. Can I kind of hear a bit of Weller influence in that a little bit somehow, actually?
Oh, yeah,
style,
absolutely.
Style Council and everything else.
Yeah, well, this was a part of his... Tracy was on his Respond record label roster.
And as I said, I'd actually never heard of her before, so it's great for me hearing new stuff, but you're saying that it was recently re-released?
Yeah, but the original, when this was originally released back in 1984, I vividly remember bumping into a sort of, mod and modette, to use the gendered term, a mod couple, same age as me, regulars at Wren's Wine Bar, and they were in Boots. We were in Boots. I was looking through the singles. They were buying this LP. I didn't have a couple of bob on me at the time to afford my own
How
copy.
Times have changed, eh?
I still can't afford, My little one, three-year-old, just the other weekend, she manages to limit my record buying now.
Yes.
But yes, this couple were in Boots, buying this album. This is the type of stuff that would have been, if not heard in Wren's Wine Bar, they would go home at the end of the night and, this is the stuff they would play, during their courting years and so on. But yeah, let's not forget that places like Wren's Wine Bar, relationships were forged there. Friends meeting friends, boyfriends meeting girlfriends, girlfriends meeting boyfriends, and lifelong relationships were established there.
And we're heading towards the Small Faces now. And what I'm thinking about hearing this stuff, and what I quite like about this, actually, this particular edition of the Goose, is the eclecticism of it. You're going from the very point of this is it the difference of the different cultures, different style traps, you're saying, coming together. And I'm just imagining, I quite like the idea, you're probably in a place where you may not know what's going to come on next, and it may not be your thing, but if that's not good, the next thing coming along might be right up your street, and sort of allowing for that space and eclectic music style.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I mean. Being there was an education in itself, and exactly, you were guaranteed. You might have to wait a song or two, but your song would eventually be played at some point during the night.
And you may well just have been lucky enough at some point to hear a track like this from the Small Faces.
Well, Sha-la-la-la-lee, and of course we've picked it because this is a celebration of the weekend and Friday night, and the opening line is, "Picked her up on a Friday night."
We went someplace I don't
there's a Small Faces and a bit of sort of saccharin pop, really, but a big song, and certainly one which would have been played a lot at that time. You were talking then, Peter, about, well, we were talking a little bit when the song's playing, about really how music sort of brings back recollections, and, you know, it's like you hear a piece of music and you can smell the kind of food you were eating at that time, and makes you think of the places and the people that you met along the way.
You've mentioned food there, the smell of food. That's a nice lead-in, actually, because, yes, I wanted to talk about how the music we've got collected today, brought together today, which you would have heard in this context, in this order, in Wren's Wine Bar across the late 70s and throughout the 1980s, about the spaces, places and characters. So, yes, as well as these style tribes, of course, didn't, you know, just exist on sort of Friday night and Saturday night. They lived, you know, 9-to-5 lives. And, yes, as well as Wren's Wine Bar, you'd have John the Barber's, the MC Cafe, Opal's Fish and Chips, you know, where you could take away or sit down and eat, the Wimpy, Talk of the Abbey, the local sort of disco, Gwyn Hall, where jumble sales and so on were held, charity shops, where a lot of these style tribes picked up, you know, their eclectic clothing mix. And indeed, you know, as well as we already mentioned that Wren's existed on Windsor Road, but Stockham's Corner, this sort of major route into Neath, and you know, could either continue along the main road into Neath or towards then you know, the Merlin and Britain Ferry and Portalbert. You know, these members of the Star Tribes, you know, hang around in these sort of quite, you know, dark places, graffitied places, and so on. And again, the characters, this Facebook group, you know, that I'm a member of, Days I Remember All My Life. There's a lot of, you know, quite sad talk about sort of people who have now died, people who've suffered a mental illness, you know, depression. But on a more upbeat note, you know, this Facebook group celebrates best friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, lifelong partners. So I think time for another love song.
L-O-V-E.
That's Animal Nightlife and Love Is Just the Great Pretender. It is the Loose Goose. Dr. Peter Yakimiak is with me. I'm not sure whether he's a great pretender. I don't think he is. I think he's
sometimes a, I feel a bit of a fraud, but
working our way through some fantastic memorabilia as ever there, Peter. It's surrounded by great quotes and great publications. Tell us more.
Well, two publications in front of me by Richard Barnes, who was not a mod, a 60s mod, but he did spend his art school years with Pete Townsend, of course, of The Who. Mm. So he was well placed to view from within, you know, but from without as well, the mod subculture of the 1960s and the development of The Who. Mm. And indeed, no self-respecting mod of the late 1970s, early 1980s would have been without these two texts by him. Mods, with an exclamation mark, a book that is mainly, you know, sort of black and white photos. But there are stills in there of sort of, you know, original 60s mod dances and so on, and those of us in the 1970s and 80s would have tried to emulate and copy these dances. But there's a two-page spread here, as I open Mods by Richard Barnes, where there's, across these two pages, there's four photographs of the Scene Club back in 1963 in central London. And this was the mod, you know, all-night venue. And you can see, you know, quite a large contingent of sort of female mods there, and mod couples sitting on sort of long benches, kissing, you know, and cuddling and so on. And it's quite a dingy basement area. So in a way, you know, trying to draw comparisons here with what was going on within the Scene back in 1963 and Wren's Wine Bar back in the late 70s and early, you know, early 1980s throughout the 1980s, really. And the other text that any 70s, 80s mod you wouldn't be without is this visual history of The Who Maximum R&B. Some wonderful colour photographs in here, you know, charting the history of The Who up until the time it was published, really, sort of 1982.
And The Who are recently in Cardiff, as you say, playing at the Motorpoint Arena doing the Quadrophenia thing. So
they were, and yeah, I mean, the tickets were quite pricey. And yes, men and women of all ages, you know, were you know, around and about in town and at the gig.
And I think you confirmed your status as you know, kind of you can take the boy out of Neath, because rather than going to the gig in the Motorpoint Arena with The Who doing Quadrophenia and going to the post-gig party, you did none of that, went to the pre-gig, had a pint and went home.
That's right, at the Goody Who just across the road from us there. But we'll, just before we go into the next track, I just wanted to say that, again, this Facebook group, Days I Remember All My Life, you know, these collection of people, yeah. 29 members now, you know, remembering their younger selves. Well, there's, as you'd imagine, you know, on this, you know, as per these sites, Facebook sites, there's lots of old photographs. And indeed, three of the members, three guys have put up a picture of themselves, you know, back in the day, and they're young, they're good looking, they're wearing the sort of, you know, the mod clothing, the paisley shirts and whatever. And there's just two comments which speak for themselves. One person looks back at their younger self and states, "I look pretty young, but I'm just backdated." The other one states, "Yeah."
Shoes are made of leather, but I was substitute for another guy.
Great end to a song. The Who and Substitute is the Loose Goose, and we're once again into the realm of wonderful books.
Yeah, this is all about celebrating the Style Tribes of the 80s, late 70s and 1980s within Britain. Just want to mention Jeanette Beckman's book, Made in the UK, The Music of Attitude, 1977 to 1983. Again, this is mainly a book that contains sort of black and white photographs of all manner of sort of members of Style Tribes, Teddy Boys, you know, psychobillies, punks. But there's a couple of pages in here which absolutely wonderful pictures, actually, from the Loch Lomond Festival, from this huge music festival from 1981 up in Scotland. And you're on one, on the left-hand page, you've got, you know, these couple of sort of rude boys. What, they're in their early teens. One of them's got his front tooth missing. Their grins are like Cheshire cats here, you know, the sort of black and white checkered braces and pin badges and so on. Then on the other page, against a backdrop of fir trees, you've got this sort of mass of Parker-wearing mods, fists in the air, drinking cans of lager. Some of them are doing thumbs up, some are grimacing. Towards the camera. And, you know, this, I think these two shots quite wonderfully sort of sum up this feeling of being a member of a Style Tribe, that, you know, you felt someone to be a member of such a Style Tribe. Indeed, you felt that it was your world.
Stop!
extremely catchy song. Probably not as successful as you'd think it would have been listening back to it now. That's Secret Affair with My World. It's The Loose Goose. And you're talking, Peter, while that was playing, and you've got another great publication there, Scooter Boys, talking about how things kind of merged, but also splintered at the same time, so things kind of filtered from one into another, really.
Yeah, I mean, these style tribes, you know, weren't static. All was not harmonious within these style tribe groupings. Indeed, Gareth Brown's Scooter Boys, which is a history of scooter riding across the 1980s into the 1990s, its opening sort of photographs are the Easter run to Brighton across 1981, and quite clearly off to this scooter run, these scooter riders are mods. They're there with their parkas, their berets on in some cases, you know, this sort of touch of French culture, highly polished shoes, you know, the scarf tucked into the parka in a cravat style, narrow ties, narrow trousers, and so on. But many of the mods about to become Scooter Boys at this time stated they went off on these scooter runs during the early and mid-1980s as mods and came back as Scooter Boys. And whereas Scooter Boys and mods, as far as the general public would have been concerned, you know, looked more or less the same. Well, you can see from this shot here, a little bit about halfway through the book, you know, the classic Scooter Boy look here, head to toe in camouflage, sort of, you know, army surplus gear. Some guys even wearing the sort of leather biker's jacket with sort of the denim jacket over it with the arms cut off, you know, classic biker wear, and full front, you know, full face crash helmets, and the scooters, of course, almost beyond recognition here, more like late 60s sort of chopper bikes, you know, with the extended front forks.
Yeah.
So again, things were fragmenting, were splintering across the mid, you know, early to mid 1980s.
Well, we got a song. When I saw the playlist, I thought, what's going on here? What's the thinking behind this? Because we're going all of a sudden to Fine Young Cannibals. Explain this one.
Yes, exactly. What is going on here? But, you know, that mention there of Scooter Boys, we're about to hear a good thing, which is from very late 1980s, I think from 1989. And this is where the Fine Young Cannibals celebrated the video to this, celebrated the rise of the Scooter Boy. The video shows slow motion images of guys on scooters, you know, the sort of girl on the riding pillion and so on. But more importantly, it's almost a sort of, you know, the video is homoerotic in a way, because all these guys with tight, you know, Levi's and the green flying jacket, the blues on flying jacket, the MA1 flying jacket, and it's all done in a very you know, seductive way, where the gaze of the viewer is you know, captured within the gaze of the Scooter Boy looking out back out from the screen.
But overall, it's quite a good thing.
It is a good thing. Yeah.
Listening to the Loose Goose, that was Fine Young Cannibals with Good Thing. Peter Yakimiak, Dr. Peter Yakimiak is with us once again, and we're moving into a different territory again now, Peter, so talk us through this bit.
Yes, but not jarringly, of course, because we're going to talk about jazz now, and the Fine Young Cannibals, of course, were named after an old jazz movie, took the name from the title of an old jazz film. Talk about these style tribes sort of splintering and so on and all the different influences. Early 1980s, I was a mod, you know, listening to the Who, Secret Affair, you know, groups we've already listened to. But all of a sudden, in the music press was this talk of the rise of so-called new jazz, you know, very London-centric. And, of course, the film, which was in making for quite a while, Absolute Beginners, with its jazzy, soul jazz soundtrack, had big names from the 1980s, you know, Sade, Style Council, Working Week, even Ten Paul Tudor, even Jerry Damas from the Specials, you know, in there. Indeed, the big name draw and the big hit from the film was David Bowie with the theme tune, as it were, of the film Absolute Beginners.
At stake.
Absolute Beginners, David Bowie. I don't think we played that on the Loose Goose recently when I did with Daryl Perrin. So I'm not sure whether we did play that one, but we did obviously talk a lot about his cinematic sort of identity, Bowie. Did you hear that show? Did you, the one with Daryl Perrin at all, Peter?
It's quite a long one, so I've listened to quite a bit of it, but I need to find time in my busy schedule to listen to the rest.
I'll say this now because I've sort of thought about it then. But thanks once again for asking me that time when he came up the stairs, and we both work in the University of South Wales, and he came up one day and said, "Oh, how about doing some radio shows? I've got this idea for, I'd like to do this stuff." Well, thanks for asking, because it's really taking me into a completely different territory, which otherwise wouldn't have happened. And working with you and Mike and Daryl, and just doing all this really abstract, quirky, interesting stuff, and it goes where it goes, is great.
I like quirky.
Yes, quirky's good.
Quirky's good. Always good.
But we're on, we just played Absolute Beginners. And one of the things I talked about with Daryl was, with Bowie's movies, really, in general, sort of simplistic terms, probably not very good films, but sort of interesting.
I tend to agree with you there, and indeed, Absolute Beginners was probably viewed by many as probably the worst film that he starred in. Yeah, with a capital T, I would say. Mm. But I loved it. Mm. I loved the film. I loved the single LP, soundtrack LP. I loved the double soundtrack LP. I've got here not only the original novel in its... Absolute Beginners film.
Is it any good,
cover.
The book? Is the book good?
Well, the book is, it captures the birth of mod in the very late 1950s. So it's, as far as mod's concerned, the original novel by Colin McInnes is a key text. Mm-hmm. But I also love the this, which is the book of the film, The Beginner's Guide to Absolute Beginners, the musical. And indeed, it's some lovely... retro visuals in there, it's sort of the mishmash of late 50s, early 60s in there. But jazz was not, for those that frequented Wren's Wine Bar across the mid-1980s, jazz was not to the taste of all. And indeed, Northern Soul was very much the genre of music you could hear being played in its basement, and indeed one person comments on this track we're going to hear next by Ardeen Taylor. This takes me straight back to the wine bar. Of those happy times, to the love that once was mine.
That's Ardeen Taylor with Ghost of My House. You know what R stands for in Ardeen Taylor, by the way?
I don't actually, but we could ask listeners to ring in.
Because I haven't got a clue, but I didn't think I looked it up once. Because you just take it for granted, Ardeen Taylor, what does the R stand for? Anyway, a very inconsequential little observation, but slightly more consequential, Ghost in My House. And you've come up with a really interesting piece of literature which relates to that, jumping us into a completely different territory which we wouldn't otherwise have gone to.
I'll give it a go. I love that track, you know, There's a Ghost in My House. And indeed, it's if anything, it's the theme tune of Wren's Wine Bar back in the these glory days of these Style Tribes, you know, late 70s, early 1980s, Neath. I like the fact that, you know, the memories of us on this Facebook group, as part of this Facebook group, our memories are, you know, quite vivid yet hazy, and we're looking back at a time which is obviously gone. We can't recreate it, and you know, ourselves are part and parcel of that past. So again, just to quote quickly from Ghost Culture, a book by John G. Sabol Jr., he states on the very last page, actually, "The memories and experiences we have at locations we inhabit, visit, or investigate will be the basis for our own personalised haunscapes. We are both that participate in and observer of our own ghostly actions. We are the subject observing and the object of some future investigation."
Bells are
is The Who in 5:15. Out of My Brains on a Train. Well, you know, that's enough about that. Enough about those stories. We're only talking about the Rainbow and the Eighth. I'm sure it wasn't quite that manic. Quadrophenia, of course, a pivotal album of the whole thing. And as I say, recently they played just across the road from us at the university in Cardiff. And obviously a massive, massive impact. That particular album is quite an unusual version of the album too.
Yes, because the original double album, of course, came out in 73, made into a Who Productions film in 1979. So Quadrophenia, highly influential here as far as not only the mod style tribe was, or mod revival style tribe was concerned, but, you know, it sort of merged punk with this mod revival. Mm. And yes, the soundtrack double album was just as influential as the original album, if not more so, because it had one side with original 60 soul tracks.
And just to very quickly throw you off the track here, but I'm thinking about Townsend as an individual and his sort of role within music and the way he's flitted from thing to thing over the years, a bit like Weller in a way, but in a different journey. Mm. So maybe a programme in there sometime.
Well, what Townsend has done, of course, from the early days of The Who, especially from Quadrophenia onward, is archive and present that archive of The Who, their past and their history. They're constantly doing that, you know, with their Quadrophenia tours and so on.
I reckon there's a story of Townsend Loose Goose there somewhere.
I would think so. But that leads us in, yeah, that leads us in to, well, the last track, really, The Kinks and Days. And I'm just going to read from Andy Miller's, as part of a series by Continuum called 33 and a Third, classic albums being revisited in these, you know, tiny little paperback books. But this is the one to do with The Kinks are the Village Green Preservation Society, their album from 1968. And this is what he has to say about Days. Days is, after all, about coming to terms with your past. When Ray Davis sings Days, he and the audience share their own nostalgic communion, one of the most expressive and compassionate pop has to offer. And with that quote in mind by Andy Miller, just want to read a few final fragments of quotes from the Days I Remember All My Life Facebook group. Someone has asked, where did all those years go? But others state, looking back from their present-day selves to those days back in Wren's Wine Bar, Neath, during the late 1970s, early 1980s, into the 1980s, people who were hugely important to me, people who I know now had a real influence on me. Good times, good people, really shaped my life. The best of times and the best of friends.
Thank you for the days, those endless days, those sacred days you gave me. I'm thinking of the days, I won't forget a single day, believe me. I bless the light that lights on you, believe me. And though you're gone, you're with me every single day, believe me. Days I remember all my life. Days when you can't see wrong from right. You took my life, but then I knew that very soon you'd leave me. But it's alright, now I'm not frightened of this world, believe me. I wish today would be tomorrow. Night is dark, it just brings sorrow, let it wait. Thank you for the days, those endless days, those sacred days you gave me. I'm thinking of the days, I won't forget a single day, believe me. Days I remember all my life. Days when you can't see wrong from right. You took my life, but then I knew that very soon you'd leave me. But it's alright,
The Kinks and Days, and amongst several songs we played tonight, things like Substitute, I suppose Absolute Beginners to some extent, and certainly There's a Ghost in My House. Enduring songs, great songs, just great piece of music, really.
Of their time, but transcend time as well.
Well, listen, Peter, thank you very much once again for being on The Goose. We were just talking. It was in my head. And you said it's already being planned that there might be some sort of reunion event happening at Wren's. There's people looking just as fabulous as they ever did. I would have thought.
I would have thought so. Yes. Some of them have aged well, like the classic bottle of Rioja.
And they're getting. And talking of which, it is now. Apparently, you said it's more of a restaurant now than a wine bar.
Yes, Wren's as it was no longer exists. Perhaps only in our memories, sadly. But no, it still exists as a restaurant outlet. It's called Remo's, and indeed the Facebook group wish to hold a reunion sooner rather than later. And I think that may be the venue in August of this year.
Okay, and if people wanted to actually go onto Facebook and have, what's the name of the group again?
Days I Remember All My Life.
Well, listen, Peter, thanks again for doing this and putting it all together. I know you that lots of different things going on. You're writing books and publications, etc., etc. And interestingly, it looks like you're going to be heavily involved with Heavy Soul very, very soon.
Yeah, this is a fanzine or a modzine. Issue 18 is due out this month. Almost forgot we're in July. And, it's a fanzine which includes various sort of supplements and a free CD, and indeed the classic classic mod band supplement, which normally accompanies it, has been transformed into a memory of mod supplement for this coming edition. And it's yours truly, my memories in there of being a mod in Neath back in the 80s within that supplement.
Well, good luck with that. I'm sure it'll be very successful, and it's been nice as well with this program as we've done it recently, is that the different sort of publications who have reacted to it, picked up on it, it's kind of spreading, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is. And again, we're getting positive feedback from musicians, from record label owners, and our listeners.
And if you do want to get to previous editions of The Loose Goose, including the one with Daryl Perrins recently with David Bowie, then you can just go to the website. If you just put Loose Goose Radio Show into Google, you'll find it. And Dr. Peter Yakimiak, thank you very much.
No, thank you.